Now it's time to say very good morning to Peter Allam. Peter, very good morning on this chilly Monday morning.
Yeah, well, indeed, chilly Monday morning.
And
very cold down on the coast, only 13 degrees today.
Yeah, it's better than some parts of our province where it's clocking in at 9. It's not even getting into double figures.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, true.
Chilly morning. Yeah. But, Peter, before we get started with our serious chat, I came across this little joke that's all about lawyers, and I thought you'd appreciate it. But it's a story about a young Andy who goes to see a lawyer, and he tells his lawyer that his neighbor borrowed 300 rand and won't pay it up. What should he do? So the lawyer asks Andy, "Do you have any proof that he owes you the money?" So Andy replies, "Well, not really. I thought we were good enough friends and trusted him." "I see," said the lawyer. And I mean, this now brings back many chats that we've had with you, Peter. But then the lawyer says to him, "Okay, we'll write him a letter enclosing a stamped addressed return envelope asking him for the 3,000 rand that he owes you," said the lawyer. "But it's only 300 rand," said the man. "Precisely," said the lawyer, "and that's what I expect he will reply, and the, you will have proof that you can take him to court with."
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Sometimes, and that's what we do sometimes, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
Is that if you inflate it or make it look worse, they come back, "Ah, no, it's not that, it's only this." So, very good way of doing it.
Yeah, but so
anyway,
what...
Today we're going
to... Just sorry, Peter. Okay. Yeah, sorry? Buying and selling businesses.
Yeah, buying and selling businesses or starting your own business. You know, of course, the ideal situation is that if you've been working somewhere and you've got enough knowledge in that to start from scratch and, you know, set up your own business, that they make sure that there are no skeletons in the cupboard, that you're doing what you want to do, the way you want to do it, the way you're used to it. You know, you get a lot of people that go into a business, be it a, or no matter what it is, be it a trade or be it whatever, and a plumber or an electrician or a shop owner, or not a shop owner, but a shop worker, sometimes, you know, they get tired of working for a boss and they have sufficient enough funds, or they can get funds from family to set up their own business. So, of course, first choice is always starting a business from scratch. You know, it's the way you want to do it and what you enjoy doing. But what we're going to chat about today is that if you don't and you're going to buy a business, you need to make sure that your checklist is there for buying a business. So we'll go through the various aspects of it. The first thing is that you must make sure that you're happy. Don't be a plumber and want to buy an electrical business, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
The business you're buying must be what is in your field, what you know about, what you can manage, what you can give advice on. You know, be it a supermarket, that you know how to buy and how to sell goods, that you know what the public want, that you know what the demands are. So, you know, you need to consider the business that you're going to set up, first of all. Your choice must be correct. The most important thing there is choice. Choice of business is the first thing you must do. So don't come along and you've been a plumber all your life and, like I say, you want to buy an electrical business or buy a bottle store or bar or something like that. You know, with that experience, that's normally when people crack. And don't say, "Oh, my son has been working as a barman and he can manage it for me." That's not the way to do it. You know, you need to know the ins and outs of it. You need to know the pros and cons. You need to know what the liquor board's attitude is and how they adapt to things in the area and that type of thing. For example, lately in the Liquor Act, you're not allowed an establishment within 100 meters, 500 meters from a school. So you've got to take all of that into account. So make sure that you do proper homework in that regard. So you need to also consider all the costs in establishing or in purchasing. That's the purchase price, the legal fees, and the other costs that you will have to incur in that regard. So do your research. Make sure that the potential business is the correct business for you. You know, check on the history of the business, check on its location, check on the size of the business, check on its financial performance. Financial performance is very important if you're going to buy an existing business. You need to do a thorough due diligence on it. You know, don't just go along and say, "Oh, I can see, you know, the Mr. Joseph that runs that business drives a Merc, lives in a rich area. You know, for all you know, you could be full of loans. The business could be so indebted to people that you don't even know what the position is. So you've got to do a thorough investigation of the assets, the liabilities, the financial health, the profitability. You know, you need to ensure that all of those are within the legal limits and regulations. You know, don't buy a business and find out that it owes the revenue a large amount, and that's the reason why the guy's selling. And also, you know, a lot of people don't realize that there's a, what you call a Section 34 advertisement that must take place. That's what you see in the paper to say so-and-so is bought from someone. That there is compulsory, and it's necessary to protect you to make sure that there are no skeletons in the cupboard. It also protects the seller to make sure that if you sell to Joe Soap and he's bought something that he doesn't know how to handle, that if he goes bang within 6 months to a year and he's incurred debts, that you as the previous owner are not involved in the expenses that he's incurred. So it's very important to review all the contracts, all the agreements, the staff, the stock, you know, bank balances. If they must show you what the bank balances are. They must show you the balance sheets that they have on hand. They must show you the daily trading. They must show you everything about the business, all its obligations, its risks. Of course, as well, you need to know what assets it has, what it owns, what it doesn't own, what it's renting, what it's not renting. So, you know, you need to know what is happening there. You need to negotiate the terms and conditions of the agreement. And then when you're ready as well, don't try and do an agreement between yourselves. You know, if you've got an electrical fault, you can't fix an electrical fault and get a compliance certificate. So what I'm saying is that you need to make sure that you go to an attorney that knows what he's doing, that's experienced in sales, and that he can give you advice, both of you. You know, I always say my big point in life is that I'm able to say that there's not a single person out there that can say to me that I treated them badly or that I didn't explain the pros and cons to both the buyer and seller. You know, when I see a seller, when I see a buyer, I want to be able to look them in the face and say, hey, I did your sale and I helped you. Are you happy? And a lot of times that's what you don't get out of an attorney. You know, the attorney is there to safeguard the buyer or the seller, whoever's attorney is. Another common thing is that I often laugh at people that are buying a business or something, and so the sellers come to me and they take it off to their attorney, and then that attorney tries to rip your agreement to pieces, you know, trying to show off, in other words. And at the end of the day, it amounts to the exact same thing. That is common these days where, you know, you get the youngsters. You don't find it against the older attorneys, but with the youngsters, they try to impress. They find new things. What about this? What about that? You know, it's all contained in the agreement. So, you know, don't kid yourself, because many a time, in fact, recently I've had three or four that have made absolute fools of themselves by wanting to put paragraphs into either sales and things like that, that either already exist and are in there just under a different heading, or, you know, that are not completely unnecessary, don't fit into the picture with the sale of the specific business. So make sure as well that you understand that the attorney dealing with the matter explains it correctly to you. I'm not saying, you know, go to the same attorney. I'm saying use your own attorney, but make sure that he's there to assist you to look at the agreement. And what I do, if I get people that bring an agreement to me, I don't go back behind his back and say to the person, oh, you must go back to the attorney and tell him this and that and that. I phone that attorney and say, you know, this is what the position is. This is what we're lacking in here. This is what I want to recommend. Discuss it with the guy and come to an agreement. So it's very important that your draft sale agreement is correct, drawn correctly, that it has all the necessary processes in it to ensure the smooth takeover and purchase of the business. So you need to address all of that. And then very important always is the of course, the regulatory approvals that are necessary. You know, depending on the industry and the size of the transaction, you might need the Competition Commission's approval. You might need the Liquor Board's approval. You might need health and regulation requirements. Licenses that need to be transfers and things like that. So, you know, you need to make sure that it's correct. And, of course, there's always the register. You need to register the business with the Companies and Intellectual Properties Commission. And also, most important, don't leave out the revenue. He's the man that you've got to make sure he's up to date. Saz.
Yeah.
Make sure Saz is up to date. Make sure there are no investigations from Saz. Make the guy show you that he's up to date with his VAT, up to date with his UIF, unemployment, all that type of thing. You need to make sure that anything that's related to SARS is correct. Make sure you're not buying a business that has a financial loss that it cannot recover, that SARS are coming down on, and that type of thing. You know, a lot of people, when they're desperate, they just let their businesses go for any amount, and people haven't done a proper study and made sure that, you know, that is correct. We touched a bit on transfer of licenses and permits. Yes, you need to make sure that the business has the correct permits, and that they transfer it to you, and that it continues to comply with all the rules and regulations that there are. You know, there are lots of different businesses that have different requirements and regulations applicable to them. You know, for example, if it's a Liquor Act, you need to make sure that your premises are correct. You need to make sure, in terms of the Liquor Act, that what is registered at the liquor board is in fact the correct premises. You know, you can't have somebody that's just moved his pub around and not given details to the liquor board. You've got to make sure that his manager's appointments are in place. You've got to make sure that they're up to date with their annual fee. You've got to make sure that they're trading correctly and that type of thing. You need to make sure that, you know, not a permit, yeah, or a license, but make sure that they're up to date with the liquor companies and things like that. So it's very important that you check on the business and see that it's correct. You know, another thing that a lot of people do, where they cowardly sell their business and don't tell the staff, you know, you arrive at work on the 1st of July and there's a new boss and he says, "I know, I'm your new boss. I bought the business from Joe Soap and you're now working for me."
Yeah.
Don't do that. Let the employees know about the change in ownership. Make sure to inform both your suppliers and customers about the purchase as well. You know, and update your banking records to show the new buyer and that type of thing. You know, you've got these days most businesses done with a credit card or whatever it may be. You need to make sure all of that is in place for the takeover and that everything is up to date and sorted. You know, also with buying a business, you need to also make sure that your ongoing compliance is there with all the costs, you know. The annual returns, the tax returns, and all that type of thing, whatever reports there are to the different people. And then, of course, you know, make sure that your due diligence, we go back to due diligence, which is always so important. Make sure that the financial risks are understood, that you know what you're letting yourself in for, that the health of the business you've covered basically, you know, properly. Checked everything, looked at the profitability, looked at the cash flow, look at the debts, look at the financial trends, look at who pays and who doesn't pay. Are there people that operate accounts? Are there bad debts? All that type of thing you need to have a proper look at. That will tell you what the operational risks are, that you will find out and see what the relationship is between the customers, the customer base, and help you towards that. And you know, these are all to consider whether the industry is a growing industry, consider whether there's a need for an extra business like that in the area. You know, especially if you're establishing your own new business, make sure that, you know, you're going to make it in the market. Make sure that it's not something that you've got no business with, because that's the worst thing that can happen, is that you open an electrical business and you've got no homes to service because you haven't done your homework properly. Or you buy an electrical business and you find, oh, no. You know, I was only in the business because Wayne ran the business. So I followed Wayne. Now that Wayne's gone, I've got my other friend Jack that I'm now going to follow. You know, that's something that happens. So have a look at the customer list. Have a look at the customer base. Make sure you make contact with them. You know, a proper seller will say to you, okay, let me introduce you to my good customers and make sure that they're happy to continue with you. You need to make sure that is all there. So, you know, that's what you are there. So when buying a business, make sure that you do a due diligence. Make sure that your business valuation is correct. Make sure you're not overpaying for it. You know, often you find people that come along and it's a thriving business.
Yeah.
But they forget that the person that's got it has got a cash flow behind him that he can afford to pay for debts and things like that. And also, very importantly, I always say to people, can you afford the purchase price? You know, it's all very well getting a loan from a bank for $2 or $3 million to buy a business, but are you going to be sufficient enough busy, shall I say, to be able to pay the installment of maybe $200,000 a month or something like that? You need to assess it and say, okay, this business is making $100,000. How can I now pay $120 back on a loan that I've taken? You won't survive if you do that. That happens so often. It's very sad because, you know, you find the person that operated the business was wealthy. He didn't have that repayment portion. So he survived with ease because that $120,000 or so that you're going to take out of the business to pay for the purchase price of an installment is a killer. You know, check with your accountant, see that you can afford it, work out the finances properly. Have a look at the asset base, make sure that you're not overpaying for the business and things like that. That's basically where you are there with, you know, setting up a business. You make sure that you are comfortable. Make sure that you cover every aspect of it. You know, at Allen's, I have what we call a checklist. So when you come in with me, I'll show you my checklist, which has got about 40 items. We go through that checklist and say, what about this? What about that? You know, make sure everything is correct. Make sure that the buyer is capable of buying. Make sure that the funds are available. Another very bad mistake that a lot of people do is they come to us and say, oh, I sold my business last week to Joe Soap. He took over immediately. Don't do that. That's dangerous. You know, you need to ensure the smooth taking over of the business correctly, that the advertisements appear and that everything has been done correctly. You know, don't give your business to somebody to run and say, oh, well, he's going to pay me in 3 weeks' time, and then you can't raise the finance or capital. He's not a, you know, past and that type of thing. I mean, there are many ways of financing a business. Sometimes people have their own finance. They take bank loans. They find investors. They find private people, you know, that can help you there.
So make sure
that what you're doing is correct. Make sure that the person you're selling to is stable and able, as I call it. I always say, make sure that person is stable, able, and willing.
And willing.
To operate the business. Don't let somebody come in, runs it for 6 months, runs it into the ground, and then gives it back to you and say, no, I can't afford it anymore. You know, make sure the money was up front. Make sure that you're covered. Make sure that you have the necessary surety ships and proof of payments for the purchase price in place if it's going to be paid off over a period of time.
Right.
Of course, the best way is for the funds to be up front. That's basically where you are there. The last thing I can say on something like this, Wayne, is, you know, who do you need to help you when you buy a business? You know, invariably you'll find an agent or a business broker. Make sure that person is not just after the commission. He's able to give you full and proper details of it. An attorney is of vital importance in buying a business. You know, the attorney and the accountant. And I like to work together with the person's accountant. I always say, who's your accountant? I will phone the accountant, say, you know, Wayne is buying this business. Do you think he's got the needs and the funds to buy it? Is he doing the right thing? Have you done a due diligence for him? You know, have you analyzed the financial statements? Have you assessed the implications of the purchase and that type of thing? Nice. The accountant is very important to make sure that the due diligence has been done correctly, and then the lawyer to back him up and make sure that everything goes properly. A lot of times people don't have businesses valued. You know, I had one the other day where the valuator was going to charge him $8,000. Ah, no, I'm not going to do that. I can buy lots of stock with $8,000.
Yeah.
Don't be silly. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish, because, you know, you need to make sure that somebody has valued it and said there is that value in the business. If you're going to take a bank loan or something like that, the bank is going to look at it. If you buy a house, the bank will go out and inspect the house you buy. They don't just give you, you know, it's not a case of, oh, I can afford 2 million rand. I've been pre-approved. I find a house and the bank gives it to you. No, they still go and check the house. They still make sure that there's fair value. They still send a specialist out that will have a look at it. So make sure you do that. And, of course, you've got your financial manager or bank manager that will back you with something like that. So buying a business is not something that you do every day. It's something that needs to be done properly and must ensure that you have covered all aspects of the purchase of a business.
Right, right.
That's basically it for today, Wayne.
And if I may just add something you mentioned when you were talking about selling trade businesses like electrical, plumbing, gas, etc. And there you need to be very careful and be aware that the existing owner, like let's say I sell my electrical business to you, you actually need to be fully qualified and registered to be able to be the registered person for that business, because my license, let's say my electrical license, is not transferable along with the business. You can buy Wayne's electrical, but you cannot buy my electrical license because that's tied to me as the individual. And it's the same with plumbing, gas as well. It's a new big one. And of course, electrical and probably many other sort of trades where registration processes are required.
All fields, Wayne, you're 100% correct. You know, okay, you may not need certain degrees and licenses, but you can't go and buy an attorney firm.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that type of thing. You need to have a registered attorney. You need to have a registered electrician. You need to have a registered plumber. All of those are very important because you cannot buy, you know, you can't say, oh, but all my life I've been fixing motor cars, so I'm a quality mechanic. You can get yourself into trouble, you know, if you fix something. I'm not saying that people don't know how to, but it's something that must be fully taken into account, like you say, that the person is qualified enough to operate that business. You can't buy a business that requires a license without the necessary capabilities of getting that license or having it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just because, you know, those are pitfalls that maybe people would fall into. Although, if they're trading in those fields, they would surely know the sort of legal in and out requirements of it. But you never know. Some people take chances.
Yeah, that's it. Absolutely. You never, ever know, like you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once again, very, very interesting. And Peter, if somebody is in that position and they may be needing advice or they're needing to get the process going, how do they get in touch with Alums?
Yeah, they can get us on Facebook. If they just like us, A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, add a S to our surname, Alums, like us. You'll find all our details there. They can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. Telephone 043-7211-018. And like I always say to people, if you're listening to the radio show, go on to Wild Coast FM and you'll find our details there as well.
Great.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Have a great week. Stay warm and stay dry. And we'll chat again next week, Monday.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat. And as Peter says, it will be on our website, wildcoastradio.co.za, as a podcast later on today.